Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 12, entitled Say Yes. It's written by Matthew Negrete and directed by Greg Nicotero, who have both worked heavily on the show.
Right.
You may notice we did not do an instant cast. We apologize for that. Gary had just got back in town. It was pretty late, and we barely got through the episode. But we have now watched it twice. Gary, what are your thoughts on the episode?
Although these were my two favorite people, this was just an okay episode for me. It was nothing special about it. It was pretty much predictable.
I wouldn't say it was predictable. Because that's my opinion. All through the night, whenever Rick kept saying, let's stay out later, everyone to her is like, okay, we know this is going to end bad. So, I don't know. It wasn't that predictable because they didn't die. But based on the conversations they had.
That's why it was predictable.
Oh, because they didn't die.
Because they didn't.
Well, based on the conversations they had with each other, Rick and Michonne, I have a strong, strong feeling that they are ready to kill Rick off. Rick or Michonne. And I think they're going to go hardcore and do Rick. I think the whole fake Rick dying was just getting us warmed up. Because even when I saw it, I was like, really? Is Walking Dead going to do it? Then I was like, no, it's the deer. But I think based on that conversation they had at the end, Rick may die this season. And they hope that might bring him back to, like, see, we're badass, you know? We're as cool as Game of Thrones. We can kill off our main star. So I think that's what's going to happen.
One of them are definitely going to die. I don't know whether it's Rick or Michonne, but the conversations they had kind of let it leading up to it.
Right. All right, well, let's get started then. I enjoyed the episode, though. There were some parts that, I was like, okay, that was a little weird. But other than that, I enjoyed the episode. All right, first on the likes list, we have the opening scene with showing Rick and Michonne scavenging, killing walkers, making love. It was very hot. It was very sexy. Even though if you think about it too much, it's not that sexy because they have to be so, so dirty. Like, the whole time I was like, they have to be so funky and stinky, but it was hot still.
It was hot and steamy for real.
Yeah, steamy definitely. Yeah, but I liked it. I liked that scene. Stealing from the Xavier. So you might not notice the guys that were playing golf or whatever, and it keeps bringing those pretzels back that I believe that Dwight had a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I know they were saviors because they were mentioning Fat Joey. They said something about Fat Joey. So they were able to get the pretzels and batteries from them. And they were smart about it. They didn't kill them because that would have brought more attention to them at a time they don't need that attention. Whereas if Rosita probably would have saw them, she would have killed them.
Yeah. But they were living a good life.
Yeah, they are.
Out playing golf in the middle of the day.
It brings it back to season 3, the second half of season 3, I believe, with the governor. Remember, he runs into his old pal that he ends up betraying and killing when he meets Tara and Tara's sister, and they were golfing in the middle of the day, or they were like golfing off a top of a van or a truck or something. And we know how that ended for both of those characters. So yeah. Now Tara, she finally said something to Rosita. She still hasn't cussed Rosita out. I was really hoping that someone would have cussed Rosita out this episode, like really just kind of told her about herself.
Yeah, Rosita is really in her feelings.
She really is.
And I don't understand why.
She's treating the people who actually care about her, she's treating them like shit. Whereas,
right.
I mean, she treats the saviors and all them like that too. But still, it's like, why are you being rude to these people? These aren't your enemies.
Yeah, I can't understand it.
And that's what Tara said. She's like, well, maybe you could save all of this for them. Like, why are you, I'm coming over here to help you.
I can understand her being upset about Abraham and the way it went down. And she probably feel guilty about getting Denise killed and getting,
yeah. I mean, if we blame her for Denise's death, you're talking about Olivia.
Olivia, yes.
Yeah, but well, we can also sort of blame her for Denise. Yeah.
About both. But she probably feel guilty for getting those people killed if we want to blame her, which we can. But why take it out on the people that you love or people that have your back?
Right.
I mean, I can still understand her being mad at Sasha because Sasha did take her man. But
Sasha didn't take her man.
Hey, we're supposed to be buddies, but other than that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next on the list, Rick and Michonne having a feast when they found all that food. And it just kind of made you appreciate your life a little better. Because it didn't look good, but they're like, this is delicious. But I'm guessing anything at this point is delicious. You know, if you know, I think at one point, weren't they eating dog and other weird animals that normally people don't eat? Remember when Sasha killed those dogs? I think the next scene was showing them, like, eating dogs.
I don't remember that.
And I think, like,
but I don't think I want to remember if that did happen.
Yeah. So I like this. Just seeing them happy and in love, and it kind of makes me think of why Rick didn't want to go back, why he kept saying, let's stay out. Like, he's not fighting for his life. He's not seeing his friends get beat up or killed or whatever right now. You know, he's living life. He's eating. He's making love. He's killing walkers. This is life now.
Yeah. He had chili with macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah. That is actually next on the list. He was like, I didn't tell you about this. A chili and mac and cheese together. He's like, come on. Oh, I love that. I love that scene. I love them together. That's what probably made this episode better than what it probably was because of the character, the chemistry between the two characters. I really like that. And then just Michonne, I mean, the whole I really liked it. Especially, it was really them because Michonne, like, when she was driving at one point, she's just over there staring at Rick with the googly eyes, and it was just love was definitely in the air this episode. And sometimes that's a good break from just the sadness of getting broken down episode after episode by Negan's people. But when she was telling Rick, you know what, once this is all over, we're going to need someone to kind of organize and getting the communities back up and running and working together, kind of more like a organized society.
In other words, we need a new Negan.
Is that what you took from it?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I can understand that, you know, you have your community over here. You work out an agreement where you're trading with other communities. But you don't need a council to be over all communities. That's what got everyone in trouble in the first place.
No, that's not what got everyone in trouble in the first place. I think she's more of trying to make it more of like today. There's, you know, there's different states, but then there's also still the president over all the states that tries to organize. I mean, there's still government, you know?
I understand where she was going at, what she was trying to say, but I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of one person trying to be over the board of all these communities where, I mean, that's going to bring rift amongst these communities. It's going to bring more trouble than it's going to bring good. I can understand you work out a trade agreement. It's like, okay, you grow this over here. We can get these over here. So how about on this day we trade these off? You do this, I do that, and we trade off. But that one person trying to organize all, I mean, people don't think alike. People don't want to do the same things. These are different communities.
No, I agree. And I don't think it will go down that way. I think it's going to be he's more of a liaison between all the communities.
But that's how it starts. It starts like, you know, it's not going to go down like this. But you have some people that's not going to like it. Like the Hilltop. What's his name? Jeffrey?
Yeah.
He's not going to like that. If anybody should be the leader, he's the only thing he should be.
Jeffrey's not going to make it through the war. He's not going to be here.
Over here, you have the king and the kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, they're I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that different than what it is now as far as how they were going to start trading with each other before this whole Negan mess came up. Remember when the Hilltop said, we can trade and do stuff like that with you. So, I don't know. We'll see. I don't predict that being an issue. If it is, it's not like Rick is going to mandate, hey, you have to listen to me or you can't trade with our community. Because then he would be becoming a Negan. So I don't know. I don't foresee that in the future. But we'll see. All right. Next on the likes list is the Walker's gun going off. Was kind of cool. Because when it first went off, I was like, who's shooting at them? This is so weird. And then
it was weird at first.
It was the Walker. Because it was, you know, with all the commotion going on, the Walker's trying to actually move, but the gun is going off. I thought that was cool.
And a Walker had great aim. Great aim.
Yeah, well, it was shooting everything, really. But it was really based on where he was positioned and where his gun was positioned that made it perfect.
Which I didn't understand how his gun got to the front of him from behind him.
Yeah, like because everyone else's gun was behind them. Yeah.
But he just happened to have his gun in front of him.
Maybe.
Pointing at Michonne.
Well, I was going to say, maybe he died pointing his gun, and when he got up, it was just on him. Now, later, when Rick was telling Michonne about how he couldn't sleep and everything, and we realized what happened in the beginning of season 7 is still affecting him. Seeing Abraham and Glenn die so brutally, and all the people that have followed since then, Olivia, I don't know if he cared about, I forgot the name, Spencer. But, you know, there's been a lot of deaths. Even if we go back to season 6, which wasn't that far before, you know, season 7, the events that took place in season 6 wasn't that long ago. So he's gone through a lot, and you have to kind of remember, for us, it's been years that we've been watching the show. And for them, it's been years for them too, but some of this stuff is recent. Like Tyrese. I can only imagine Tyrese, his death was probably 6 months ago versus, you know, 2 years ago for us or whatever.
Right. You have Noah.
Noah, that was brutal. His girlfriend. Jessie and her kids.
And her kids, yeah.
So all of that is pretty hard. So when he was telling Michonne, you know, he saved me, Glenn saved me, you know, in that first episode, season 1, I couldn't save him. And I just like them bringing it up because sometimes shows will just, someone will die and be like, oh, that's the end of it, you know. And it's good to hear them talk about it and say that it still hurts.
True.
So that is it for our likes. And then now onto our dislikes. I think all of our dislikes almost have to do with Rosita. Rosita's walker, the walker that she killed on her own, I didn't get that scene at all, because first of all, just like how when Rick and Michonne, when they went up to the school and they like banged on the fence first to see if any walkers would come out, the door was wide open. Why was that walker hiding behind the door until Rosita came up to the door? Do you know what I mean?
Right, the silent walker thing.
Yes, once again, silent walker. And then, Rosita, why didn't you make a little bit of noise to see what came out first, too? But I guess maybe she thinks the door's open. How could a walker be sitting inside? It could easily come out. So, when the walker approaches her, I was like, okay, this is weird. And then, like, the way she had to fight that walker, it was extra hard. And it was one walker. And it was like, you guys have too much experience to let the walker get the upper hand on you. You know, I don't know. It just was weird how she had to. It was like a lot of trouble.
I think they're dealing with the same thing we're dealing with. Like, she sliced the walker neck. And these walkers are dying different ways. You know, you slap a walker, the walker is dead. Mm-hmm. You shoot a walker, the leg is dead. So these walkers are not all dying the same way. We know how to kill walkers, or we think we do. And what she did was she tried to cut the walker neck off first.
Okay.
Or try to cut it off twice, but the walker, it looked like the walker was like real heavy.
Yeah.
And slimmed down during the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
It was like this looked like it could have been like a 400-pound person at one point.
Okay.
Because all the extra fat or extra skin hanging.
Right, right. I didn't know if that was like from water or why that walker looked that way.
It just looked like it was an overweight walker that just haven't had food in a while.
Okay.
But she finally got it right.
And then when she picked up the gun, which I thought was kind of cool that it was a fake gun. Like, ha, you know. But why didn't she... It looked like she walked away from the house. Like, made that far. Why don't you go inside the house and see if there was any real guns there? You know?
Yeah, she should have.
At least the scene showed her walking away. Like, she, you know, threw it down and then walked away or whatever.
Because if there's a walker in that house, 9 times out of 10, it wasn't scavenged yet.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. And if that gun was sitting right there. And then not only that, she might as well take the gun. You never know. Hasn't there been a scene where, I think it was when Dwight, somebody, remember they had a gun, but there really was no bullet? I don't know. So it still could have used as a as a way to help out. All right. And then next on dislikes is the water on the roof with Rick and Michonne, and maybe, you know, I don't know much about, like, climate, how all that stuff works as far as how long does it take to, like, even if there's walkers, wouldn't the water still evaporate? Like, it rains today and there's water on rooftops, but you don't go on top of the rooftop and the water will, the roof will cave in because it, within a day or two, the water will evaporate. So I don't understand why the water on the rooftop was just still there. Rather, like, why didn't it evaporate? Is there something that humans normally do to make it have evaporated that they didn't do this time? You know?
I just think it was an old shabby building. No, but it wasn't, though. That was like an army base or something, right?
Well, it was a makeshift army base. It was a high school when they first got to it. It was okay. A high school.
Well, it was probably just an older building.
Okay. I just wondered why the water was still there. Like, why didn't it dry up at this point?
It was a lot of water, but maybe it just rained and we didn't see it.
Okay.
But I don't understand, and I'm glad you brought that up, but I don't understand how that was the only way in.
Oh, later when he's like, yeah, we found the only way in. We found the
only way in.
Yeah, so, how? Are all the doors barred? And why would the doors be barred if that's where the food was inside?
Right, because it wasn't like this was an underground bunker. Right. This was an actual building.
Right. And that's where all the food was. So no, that can't, the rooftop, falling through the rooftop can't be the only way in. Unless, once again, if something off screen happened and he barred the doors and he was like, okay, well, we have the only way in. I don't know. So that part did kind of puzzle me a little bit there.
Yeah.
Rosita and Gabriel's conversation, a few things.
One, hold up. You didn't like that conversation?
No.
I loved that conversation, yeah.
Okay, because maybe I tried to, both times I was trying to pay attention to what they were talking about, but it was like they were trying to talk philosophical and, like, spiritual without even saying anything.
Well, let me know why you didn't like it.
Okay. The only part I liked is when she was like, she said something about, you shit on shit or something, you piece of shit or something. That was kind of funny. But other than that, like, with, why was she there once again blaming Gabriel for bullshit that she did? And then Gabriel actually saying, my bad that you're still alive because I meddled. What do you mean meddled? You gave her advice? Everyone gives each other advice. It's not even like she follows your advice. You told her don't do anything. She still did something that she missed. And now she blamed you for missing because she should have did it earlier. And then when he's like, well, I decided to meddle. What the F are you talking about? Like, both of them, what are you talking about? Rosita, why are you there? I did not like it. I did not like it one bit.
Well, I'll tell you why I love that scene is, I understand why Gabriel said everything he said. He wasn't saying it as it's actually his bad. He was saying it to make her think. When she came in, she was like, you just judge people and do this and just try to read everybody. And the first thing he said, well, only the people that comes to see me. Like, I don't make it my job or my mission to go out there and find you guys and say this. You came to me.
Right.
And obviously, if you come to me, you come to me because you need advice or something. And when he said, my bad that I meddled or you're still alive, he was just trying to make her think, like, hey, you may be still alive because I said something. He didn't meddle. I didn't meddle in your business. He was probably being sarcastic. Because you can't, it's not like you meddle in somebody's business that came to you and told you their business.
Right.
So I think he was saying everything to make her think, like, you're upset right now. But you came seeking my advice and I gave it to you. And you're still alive because of my advice. If anything would have happened to her, it would have been on her own doing. Which, I mean, she could have died when she tried to shoot at Negan. And then that was a weak bullet anyway. Because that little wood baseball bat, it's not that strong.
Yeah, that the bullet should have went through the baseball bat. But
he was just telling her that now that you still have your life, go do something with it. Don't sit here feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah. Don't come in here trying to blame the world at what's going on with Rosita. Rosita, do something with their life.
Okay. I mean, I guess I like it better how you explained it. I guess I'm just tired of it because it seems like everyone's like cradling her feelings, like talking, you know, being so patient with her. And it's like, come on, we've all lost stuff, Rosita. You're sitting here.
I think everyone else is on a mission. They're on a mission to gather the weapons or get what has to be done to go fight. So they don't have time to, you think they're babying her or, you know, covering her while she's in her feelings. But they don't have time for that negativity. Okay. They would have been told her off.
Right.
They're like, hey, I mean, I understand that you're going through what you're going through. But hey, we're all going through something. We have to work together. We're still here. We got to fight.
All right. Rick stopping killing the walkers to get to the deer that he says he owes Michonne. I mean, I like how they brought that back. Hey, I owe you one because based off, remember when she killed the one, was it this season?
And we got on Rick.
And yeah, we got on Rick for that.
We had to get on him. I mean, he gave them something they didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
Here, take this deer.
Now, him, the reason why I didn't like him stopping killing walkers because it led to him almost getting killed later where Michonne almost died because she was in so much shock that she thought he was dead. It's like they kept talking about how many walkers they had. He had 10, I think she had 9. She was killing hers. The deer hadn't moved yet and you were whacking off the walkers. Why didn't you finish yacking off the walkers before chasing, you know, climbing up and getting this deer? Because he wasn't thinking straight. What if when he's doing that, those walkers now doubled and went to Michonne's side? You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying.
And then the deer, I'm not going to go too far on this because I've seen everyone talk about it, but it deserves to be said. So when Michonne saw the deer in the woods, that looked fine to me. But then when Rick was at the top looking down at that deer, the deer was kind of like translucent. It was very...
Yeah, it was kind of like see-through.
Yeah, it was see-through. It was like, did you guys even try?
They didn't. They tried to fool us. That's what they tried to do.
I'm like, what was that about? Like, they didn't, it was like, almost like they didn't care.
And that's why I said this episode was okay. Because the episode probably was perfect till it got to the scene. And it just brought it all the way down to just okay to me. Because I hated this scene so much. Mm-hmm. I hated everything about this scene. Starting at the walker, just letting off rounds.
Okay.
It just started right there for me. Then it went all the way to... Yeah, I'm going to stop and look at this fake deer over here. Yeah. I thought he was hallucinating. Yeah. Like, hold up, man. Do I need some water right now? Right. Is that really a deer right there?
Yeah, that part. And then, okay, so then the last one, dislikes list, is pretty much when he threw the katana at Michonne. He's like, get.
That whole scene was whack.
We literally, Sunday night, we busted out laughing during that scene. We were like, what the fuck? We just laughed because it was just got too crazy, too silly.
It got too crazy.
Who throws a knife or sword at somebody? Like, catch. What were you doing with this?
I mean, I think that scene was supposed to be dope. You know, because it was like a throw in slow motion. And so she caught it and went straight to action.
Right.
And he popping out the little box. I mean, that whole scene was trash to me.
Yeah.
And I know some people are going to be upset because they may have loved the scene. Their heart may have stopped. You know, they thought Rick was dead, which I didn't.
I thought for like 1 second, and then literally one second, and then I was like, oh, it's the deer.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised the deer got eaten.
Yeah, how did the deer not run away in time?
I mean, that's the craziest part to me. Like, the walkers went back to, or they attacked Rick where he fell at. But Rick fell and the deer stayed there.
Yeah. Because I thought the deer ran. Remember when Rick, it looked like Rick was trying to decide to kill the deer or not because the walkers were coming. And it looked like if he realized if I shoot the deer now, the walkers are just going to get it.
Right.
So, I don't understand how the deer got caught.
So, the whole scene was just trash to me. I didn't like the scene. The scene brought a perfectly good episode down to, let's say if I gave the episode, like, if the rating was at 10. Mm-hmm. And up until that point, it was probably at 9, 8, and the episode took it down to a 4 to me.
Okay.
I mean, that scene right there.
Yeah, that scene, it kind of did F things up a little. The throwing of the katana, the fake deer, it was just too much. And then the fact that he went after the deer, like, come on. You put your lives at jeopardy here, but... Yeah, other than that, I mean, I don't have much to say about the Sasha and Rosita conversation at the end. I know a lot of people didn't like it. I didn't like it or dislike it necessarily. Are they going to get killed? No, someone else is probably going to get killed in their place.
It's never the one that start the war that gets killed. It's always the random guy to the side.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to go in there and start the war, and it's going to be like poor Eugene going to get killed.
Right. Mind his own business. So, we'll see.
But what do you think about the guns? Them giving them the guns, and they're saying, nah, we need more.
Oh, once again, that part of... I didn't like it, and I guess I didn't write that part down. And we can talk about it a little, because I believe C. Cypher had wrote about it a few weeks ago as far as why they talk the way they talk or whatever. But it still doesn't make any sense to me. Guns, soon. Like, what are you guys talking? And I think you kind of said, oh, well, they're using less... let me tell you, I'm not trying to change the subject. So I've been watching The Office recently, and there's an episode, if you guys know The Office, where Kevin, he's talking like the people from The Scavengers. He's like, me, go home, or whatever. And they're like, oh no, something's really wrong with Kevin. Like, you know, he's really lost it. And he's like, right. No, me talk this way to save time. And they're like, dude, no, because now we have to talk more to understand exactly what you're saying. Like, this is not saving time. But like, that's how those people talk, like how Kevin was trying to talk in the episode. Like, me soon, more guns. Like, what are you guys, this useful sentences here, are you guys? Just basic, you know, elementary sentences. Nothing too deep.
But I actually like that scene. I like the control they still have. Like, yeah, you brought enough guns for us to fight your war, but we still need guns for us. I don't understand why they still need guns for them, because after you fight your war, you could keep those guns.
Plus have Negan's guns.
Right.
Yeah, I mean
there's things that Rick could have said to kind of get them to say, okay, well, let's go do it. Like, you know, Negan have rooms full of guns. He have all of our guns. Mm-hmm. What I didn't like is that, why are they still doing inventory?
Yes. Yeah.
I hated that. Oh, I have an inventory right here.
Have you guys not learned anything yet? I did think that. As soon as Terror brought up the inventory, I'm like, what the fuck? Why do you guys have inventory? Why would you ever have any? Who are you keeping this inventory for? If you don't trust each other, you know what I mean? Obviously, the inventory's not working anyways, because Rosita had like two big ass machine guns or whatever, sniper guns that she took. And right. I'm pretty sure no one knew that she took it.
The inventory don't work.
The inventory doesn't work. It's a joke.
Spencer took two guns at the beginning of the apocalypse.
Right. Now, I did like them negotiating, though. I did like that part where, you know, 10, no, 2, and then Rick said 20. And I love how they were talking about that cat. And at first I was like, what cat? And then I remember when they left the last time, Rick took some, like, wired cat, like some little arts and craft cat.
Right.
Obviously, that meant a lot to someone, or I don't know, but it was, that part was kind of funny.
You know how people feel about their junk.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about my junk.
Right. So I like that part, but.
I can have something sitting somewhere for like a year. Mm-hmm. Never touch it. Don't look at it. So it's missing. I know.
Yeah. I realize I do that. I throw something away that has been just sitting there forever that no one ever uses. And as soon as I throw it away, I realize what I needed it for. And then it's like too late. I threw it away. So maybe that cat is comes in value at this point. Maybe someone remembered they hit a gun in there. I don't know. But okay, well, that's it for our likes and dislikes. We will move on now to our listener letters. We have a few Facebook comments from C. Cypher.
What up, C. Cypher?
And this one's from last week, but he wrote, ignore me because I've been listening to other podcasts that are making me mad. They are haters. Sherry talking about remembering one thing and goodbye, honey, meant something. She's headed for Daryl's people. Dwight was giving her time. The other wives knows what's up. And what if there were guns in the Maggie grave? So before we get to the Maggie grave, what do you think about Sherry and Dwight still working together in cahoots or whatever?
I kind of like where he's going with that, but I don't think so. I don't think so. Dwight seems really broken up over what he was reading. It wasn't anyone around him. He didn't have to play the game. I mean, I could see if he read it in front of people and he played the emotional game. Oh, no, where did she go? But he was solo. He was by himself. And he was hurt for real. You could look at him and see the pain. So I don't think you know where she's going. I don't think it's code words. But if it is, it'll be shocking or surprising.
I agree. It would be a little surprising, especially if she is going to Daryl's people. Who knows what Daryl's reaction may be to seeing her. Even if he thinks or knows that she's the one that set him free. Remember, when last time when he actually was able to have a full conversation with her and she said, sorry, he said, you're going to be. I don't know if Daryl would be willing to kill her or whatever happened, but I just don't think she's going to Rick's people, but who knows?
There's a chance she will run into them, but I don't think she's going there willingly. I think she don't know where she's going. She might already be dead.
Right. Now, in regards to Maggie's grave, Maggie's fake grave being filled with guns.
That'd be dope,
but seeing as they keep doing inventories of guns, I doubt it. Because they're not that smart. They're still making inventory lists of their guns. And at the time, remember, Pastor Gabriel, he had to act fast. So, remember, he still had the dirt on him. So, I don't think he was acting fast enough to let me fill it with something. I think he just, if anything, it's filled with just nothing, junk or whatever.
Right.
But that would still be pretty cool. All right. And then in regards to this week's episode on Sunday, he wrote, my only like was Michonne explaining that, like it or not, Negan was restoring order. She was a lawyer and knows history. She showed that she also knows the responsibility of maintaining order after taking him down. Negan's outposts have small armies. Biggest like, it helped those who forgot that law and order were necessary. Those who hate Negan don't realize he made perfect sense. He is the government. We have to use a well-armed military to defeat people. Presently, that's Negan. Negan equals government.
I actually agree with you. Negan does equal government. But I don't think we need a Negan. That's where I disagree. I don't like how Michonne... I can't say I don't like how she put it to Rick. I just don't like the idea of it. I don't like the idea of you trying to govern all these different communities. Govern your community. You have the hilltop. I'm sorry. You have Alexandria. Govern Alexandria and let each individual or the leader of that community govern their own community. Yes, everybody needs law and order, but when there's a lot of egos involved, the head's gonna butt.
I agree, but I like we said earlier, I do think some type of government could be in place. We even kind of saw them have like a little small council when they were at the prison, before things went crazy, before everyone got sick and everything.
But it was a small council amongst themselves.
Yes, but then maybe just choose a leader from each one. They can always have a leader from each one.
And that's what I'm saying. It'd be good to have a leader from each group. Well, each group already have a leader.
Yeah, but Gregory, he's not the best leader.
Either Gregory or Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, probably. The hilltop man. He's not going to survive the war.
But, if he does. But he's still the leader. Okay. We don't know his background. We don't know. They put him in place for a reason. Maybe that's his house.
maybe he already lived there. Yeah,
maybe he said, you know what, you come in here, you abide by my rules. But they're his rules. He's already in place.
Alright. And then he wrote, who was shooting as they pushed the car through the gate? Why was he no longer a threat after? They only rode about 30 feet. So we mentioned earlier,
it was a walker.
Now why it stopped, I can only assume that it ran out of bullets.
Yeah. Well, that was just a bad scene altogether. And yeah. it was even worse because you said who was shooting. So you didn't see it was a walker shooting. It was just a bad scene.
Yeah, I mean, at first when the shooting first started, I was like, oh shit, someone was there.
That's what I thought.
And then when I saw it was walker, I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I saw it was a walker, I was like, what the fuck?
Well, that's his next comment. Who gets bit or dies wearing a rifle on their shoulder as a group? Like, why did so many of them have rifles on their backs? just, how did you die then? Why didn't, what, and I know you mentioned the kind of the opposite, like, how did he die? Why did the shooter walker have it in front of him? But the real question
is, the only reason I mentioned that, because the rest of them had it over their shoulder.
Yeah, but how, wouldn't you have died with the gun in your hand? I mean, how did they die?
It's just crazy. It was a bad scene. It was a bad scene.
Yeah, because the gun should be on the floor.
Even if it was on their shoulder and they died, they fell on the ground. When they got up, the gun should have been in the same place. They should have been walking with a gun on their shoulder.
Right.
Period. I mean, I mentioned that earlier. This whole scene right here made the episode go from an 8, 9 down to a 4.
Yeah.
I mean, but they did redeem themselves. I mean, I get an episode of 6 altogether.
Okay.
But that was just a bad scene. Everything about the scene. From fake Rudolph.
Yes. Rudolph the see-through reindeer.
The see-through reindeer, for real.
All right. We have an email from Tiffany.
What's up, Tiff?
She wrote, I'm really enjoying the second half of the season, and I don't know if it's because the first half was so depressing or what, but I like it. And yeah, I agree. I think it also has to do with a little bit. It's not seeing them get killed and, like, be slaves and everything else. They, you know, Rick's smiling, they're making love, everything's good. So it's kind of good to see. And more than anything, I like the Rishonin, of course. Two strong warriors getting all sweaty and stinky in the back of vans and buildings and randomly up against trees. I can totally dig that. I think I like these episodes because there are moments of happiness and fun to be had in the ZA still. Shit, I love for someone to watch my kid right now for 3 days, so hoping I can go kill zombies in the wood near a carnival.
Yeah, for real.
You know, I was thinking that because when Rick kept saying, like, let's stay out here longer. Let's stay. I'm like, but what about baby Judith? Like, who's, are you just have a free babysitter watching? Like, you didn't have to tell him when you would come back, you know?
I mean, that's why you have an older child.
Oh, Carl? Yeah.
You see, first you have your babysitter. Then, you know, a couple of years later, then you have, you know, the other child.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works.
Yeah. And then she continues, I think that's why I like the Carl and Enid going roller skating episode 2. Okay. I remember, I think we kind of called bullshit because we're like, where those skates come from and yada, yada, yada. But I get it now. You know, it's exciting just seeing them do something fun and innocent.
Yeah.
The acting when Michonne thought Rick had died was amazing. Especially her being distraught after I noticed a couple of callbacks to previous episodes / season. Like when Rick and Michonne climbed out through the sunroof, Rick standing on the tank in season 1. Okay. That's cool, right? You know, when Glenn saved him. So when they were on the sunroof of the car here, when the walkers were surrounding them, it was kind of like a callback to that. Falling through the roof equals when Bob was being an alcoholic.
I remember that. Okay. Yeah.
Listen, if Tostito's main goal is to get herself killed, why doesn't she just go handle that? Why she gotta blame other people, Father G, or enlisted help?
Rosita.
She said Tostita. Tostita. Or enlisted help, Sasha. Although previously it was Eugene. Just, I can't deal with her right now.
Yeah, we can't either.
I can't deal with, I mean, I can't deal with her attitude. If she wants to go and get people's help and they're saying, yeah, I'm on board, they're all grown adults. It's not like she went and got Carl's help and was like, you know, come help me, Carl or Judith. So I'm okay with her going to Sasha.
Well, speaking of Judith, though, I don't mean to cut you off, but Judith is like 16 now, isn't she?
Okay, that's so funny you said that because that's next on Tiffany's list. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought that too. But yeah, I don't care that she went and got help from other people because they're grown. If they said, yeah, we'll help, then that's their prerogative. Next. Judith must be 11 by now, right? You know, when it showed Judith, I said, dang, that baby, how's she going to get so old? I mean, not old, but like, you know, for the longest time, remember when they got to Alexandria.
Baby Judith was a baby for a long time.
I need to see a flashback to season 5 when they first got to Alexandria. Because I swear, Rick had her in the backseat laying down and it was like a baby. And We did say we need to see some progress from her, but it seems like it jumped ship so fast because everything should have just happened. It seems like it's not like they've been under Negan's control for a long time. Like
they're catching up now.
Yeah, but
and kids grow fast.
Well, then maybe they should have said like, "Whoa, like our show us the seasons change," and be like, you know, we've been under Nick's, you know, Negan's thing for 6 months now or a year, because babies change fast. But
they do.
She looks even bigger than she did when Negan came over for spaghetti a few episodes ago.
She is.
You know?
I wonder if it's the same kid.
It might be the same kid, but at the same time, I will be fair. Kids, you know, those first 3 years of life, they're changing rapidly. Boom, boom, boom. They're growing up. Especially those first, like, 2 years of life. They, you know, you look at a baby's one-month picture versus two-month picture. They're so different. All right, most likely to die, she has Tostita, Sasha, Ben from the Kingdom. All right. And then, y'all ready for Carol next week? Kind of. I am, yeah.
I'm ready.
And then she wrote, peace out, Walking Dead crew. Thanks, Tiffany.
Thanks, Tiff.
Yeah, I'm ready for Carol.
Oh, that episode going to be awesome.
We'll see.
Well, although I like, and Tiff gets on me about this, but although I like the Morgan episode, I hope this don't be like the Morgan episode.
Oh.
I hope Carol don't walk around like, I must not kill.
Here.
Yeah, we already had that episode. So I want Carol just to just be badass Carol.
Yeah. And then now that Tara, we can assume she told Rick, is it possible that Carol could run into the Oceanside people and maybe talk, you know, like, what if it doesn't even come down to Rick and Tara having to go because Carol maybe talks them into it, or do you think those stories will never collide?
I don't know.
And then I wonder what they're going to do with Heath. We know he was filming 24.
Man, Heath is dead. Heath is gone.
No, I think they let him film 24, excuse me.
I just seen like three zombies with cornrows now.
We'll have to see what happens. He just might not be back the rest of the season. All right. So if you guys want to be part of the podcast, though, make sure you send your feedback dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/theverdictsin. And we'll discuss your feedback there. Oh, I think we did have a comment on Twitter. All right. Well, Tiffany had wrote, she wrote, it makes me nervous. Y'all didn't do an instant cast. So we already kind of discussed that. Sorry about that. We should be back full in effect, you know, next Sunday.
Yeah.
Gary literally got in just in time to watch it. We were pretty tired.
And I probably fell asleep like for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. But she had also wrote, is it just me or are the trash people terrible negotiators? And they kind of are, but I can't really tell if that lady just wants to seem at least she tried to negotiate. And
I don't even think it was about the negotiation. I think it's about seeing if Rick is strong enough to stand his ground. Like, are you strong enough for me to fight with you?
Okay.
And if I could punk you.
Right.
Then why am I fighting for you?
Yeah, if I tell you we're going to keep all your guns and you don't say nothing back.
Yeah, you're not going to benefit me.
Right.
If you don't say anything back, I'm keeping all your guns and you go about your way. You're going to get me killed.
Right. All right, and then we have a Twitter comment from David. And he wrote, The Walking Dead needs to start steering us to a conclusion of the story. The trash people is a huge fail for me. Unnatural behavior.
I kind of feel what David is saying about unnatural behavior. But they're not a fail to me. I mean, I actually like the trash people. Why are we calling them trash people?
Well, there's so many different names for them.
Yeah, that is weird behavior. But I kind of like what they bring to The Walking Dead. They bring something different. You could tell they're not, and although C. Cypher said before that they're educated, he mentioned Malcolm X. He was like, you know, at Malcolm X movie, all Malcolm X did was point a finger, and everybody got in sync and turned when he turned, so that's a sign of power.
Right.
I kind of feel that, yeah, that is a sign of power, but I feel like maybe they're not as developed as the rest of the world, so they have to go by what they have. Maybe they're not the most educated. Maybe it's a whole bunch of rejects that got together and said, we're going to make it work. And they're making it work.
Maybe. I'm just saying, Rick's crew came from all different walks of life, and no one there is the exact same as each other. So for them, for the trash people, for them to all be super weird is weird in itself, because it's like, okay, just because you guys are all hanging out doesn't mean you all are the same. Just like Alexandria,
but different you don't know people. Where they came from. I mean, this group could have came from a mental institute that the people in charge died or something.
Oh, I kind of like that. I actually, let's just go with that idea.
They could have came, all of them could have came from the same place. It could have been a mental institute. It could have
been a prison
some kind of prison.
Okay.
They could all came from the same place where this is how they communicate.
Okay.
They're going to continue to communicate, but they're surviving.
I do accept that. Maybe if they give us that backstory, or even they don't even have to go too far into it, but just be like, man, you know, we feel free here because we used to be locked up in other ways. Even when you guys were free, this is our freedom, or something like that. Like, you guys might feel this is not life, but this is us. This is the best life we've had. Or I don't know if they can articulate that much, but whatever, to let us know that, hey, before the apocalypse, their life might not have been the best.
Right.
Okay.
But they're in sync now.
Right. All right. I'll accept that. All right. Award and predictions. I ain't fearing shit. Who you got?
I'm going to have to give the I ain't fearing shit to my man, Rick. I mean, Rick, this is the first time I gave it to him. We already know Rick is a badass, so we don't get it a lot. But Rick, in the midst of fighting, he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He counted 10?
Yeah.
He counted 10. He had 10 walks on his ass. He was on his ass. And Rick looked over, saw the deer, climbed up the merry-go-round or whatever it is. Climbed up the little wheel, the circus wheel, to see, can he get that deer? That's badass. He know his baby wanted one. He had to get it for, you know, happy wife, happy life. Period. So he left the walkers. He said, yo, you know what? Y'all can come at me if you want to. Y'all my ass. He, you know, I saw a couple of backhands he did toward him. Get him off him a little bit. But he went for the deer. And I appreciate that. Rick is not fearing shit.
Yeah, I felt that was actually irresponsible of him. I'm going to actually give my I Ain't Fearing Shit award this week to Michonne. Michonne was killing those walkers left and right. She was badass. She did fail me just a little when she went into shock, but I'll allow it. She's human. That probably was scary for her. But she held her own, and I liked it. And then she was talking sense into Rick, talking about the future, who's going to be in charge, you know, who's going to be that liaison. She was saying, let's get back. Probably for baby Judith. She's always had his back, you know? And even when Rick was at his worst at the beginning of season 7, she still had his back. So, I mean, but as far as this episode goes, she wasn't fearing shit. I mean, because when several times, I think the first time when they were walking in the woods, when they heard the saviors, she didn't get scared. She was like, oh, what is this? And then even when Rick was sleeping and she heard something and she got out, I'm like, man, she ain't scared of nothing. So, yeah, Michonne.
I guess we have to agree to disagree.
Okay. Most likely to die?
Oh, this is a tough one. Because we know Carol's going to be the next episode. They're going to go back to Hilltop.
Hilltop or Kingdom?
Well, she's in the Kingdom, but you know she's going to head back to the Hilltop.
How do we know that?
I'm just guessing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're leaving the Kingdom, where else are you going to? I mean, I don't think she's going to go straight to Alexandria. And we see that everything. Hilltop is in the center of everything. I mean, we see every time somebody leaves someplace, they go to the Hilltop. I'm going to go with Rosita. Rosita. I mean, we already hate her. I mean, we don't like her. I'm not going to. Hate is a strong word. I'm going to say we dislike her right now. The Walking Dead is making us feel some type of way toward her. I mean, the last death was Glenn and Abraham, and we loved them. We loved so much. People calling out of work, not showing up to work on Monday. People on bed rest for like 2 weeks. So I think they're going to just let us down lightly, and it's going to kill Rosita off. Period.
All right. Considering we saw Carol in next week's episode previews, at least I remember only her. It might have showed the kingdom or Ezekiel or whatever. I can't recall. I just know for sure Carol. And it sounded like she was saying, did anyone get hurt? So she probably doesn't believe Daryl. Or she probably knows that Daryl was trying to spare her feelings. But so with that being said, with it being Carol, and if they're at the kingdom or somewhere near the kingdom, my money's back on Ben. We're back to the Ben death. We only got a few more episodes left, 4 episodes left in the season. You know, don't wait. Don't you can't kill Ben in the season finale. That would be stupid. You got to kill him early.
That'd be stupid.
It's like, oh my gosh, Ben died in season finale. No.
Ben, is that big enough?
No, it's not big enough, but it's big enough to bring us to the war or whatever.
You know how to break a man down. What if Ben's listening? Well, I'm not that important. I'm not a season finale death.
He mean the actor? I doubt he's listening. And if he's listening, you'll be all right, Ben. Or whatever your name is. Whatever your real name is. But no, Ben, you're going to die, dude. So, yeah, that's my pick.
Okay.
Well, that about does it. We should be back Sunday evening with an instant cast. We have no plans, so we should be well rested and be able to do an instant cast nice and good, and we'll see what happens with Carol and what goes there. And who knows? Maybe we're both our predictions are wrong. It could be Carol that can go.
I hope not.
We'll see. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening as always. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Peace.